Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Okay, this morning is New Life's Friends Day. It's indeed an honor and a privilege to stand here to share with you God's Word concerning Christian service and also the work that that we do at New Life. Allow me to commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Let's all pray together. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for the promise of hope, eternal hope, you have given us. Lord, we indeed thank you for your word that's alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. I just pray the Lord, the words from my mouth and the meditation of our hearts this morning will all be acceptable to you. We give you thanks, we pray all this in Jesus' name. I came from a poor family, and I am the eldest of five children. Right? To many of you, wow, five children, right? That's too many. But the Singapore government will love my parents as the model to go to, right, today. But truth be told, it's hard. You know? My father worked hard in order to provide food and proper education. But still, times were very hard, and as a family, we struggled to make ends meet. And it was in those difficult years of my childhood that our family witnessed the outpouring of help, assistance from various sources, including schools. And I also remember a very kind and loving auntie who came to help us with my sibling and my homework, right? And that helped a lot because we were struggling. Given this upbringing, one would think that in my current circumstances, being better off today and a follower of Christ, that I would jump at every chance to serve the disadvantaged. Truth be told, there's always this inner struggle, and I don't automatically choose to serve those in need when the opportunity arises. There are always good reasons, in inverted commas, good reasons, right, to postpone serving. It could be a change in life season, work commitment, family commitment, right? The list goes on. So we are all inherently hesitant to serve. Hence, we need to be able to conscientiously align our hearts to God's heart for those in need, and take the crucial step of faith to serve. Today, more than ever, people are asking, how should Christians respond to the social ills next door and around the world? And we can find the answer in the passage before us this morning in Isaiah 58. Isaiah challenges us to see that we, as God's people, demonstrate the reality of our faith by taking personal responsibility. With personal responsibility for the needs of the underprivileged and the deprived in our society. And the important truth that Isaiah is directing us to see is that true faith that delights in the Lord goes beyond rituals to acts of love and compassion. So let's dive into Isaiah 58 to see first the devotion that God rejects, and then we see what Isaiah has to say about devotion that God accepts. So reading Isaiah 58 verse 1, it says, "Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins." So God called Isaiah to declare to his people their rebellion and sins. This opening verse suggests that an indictment is forthcoming. Allow me read verse 2 to 4. It says, "For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seems eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they said, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked feasts. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high." Clearly, the nation of Israel observed religious ritual, but without heart devotion. Therefore, God rejected their devotion for two reasons. It may be religiously right, but Israel's approached God in a manipulative manner. The people appeared to be pious and sincere, but they were not. They thought that religious ritual, such as fasting, would gain God's favor and be blessed. They then complained that God did not answer them. So an important lesson to learn here is that we often think God is somehow obligated to bless us because of our religious observance and practices, such as church attendance weekly, the giving of tithe, Bible studies, and so forth. Aren't we guilty of this same thinking sometimes? I know I am. When praying on occasions, I find myself thinking and bargaining with God, right? God, I've done this and I've done that. Ah, surely you can grant me this little favor, right? So I horse trade with God. Worship should be an act of affectionate devotion and not designed with a motive of personal advantage. Anything different is fake worship that God detests. We must guard our motives because motives determine the validity of action. The second reason for God to reject the people's devotion is that the people were religiously right, but false obedience. Their rituals were right, but they were not accompanied by moral responsibility, especially towards those of a lower economic or social position. In essence, the attitude of the people was one of exploiting others, not one of being humble and repentance before God. God said this in verse 3 and 4. He says, "Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers." And he says, "Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked feasts." So they were religiously doing the right things, but did not focus on their own sin and their need for repentance. They felt no conviction or concern about the deprivation and the struggles of those who actually worked for them. They appear to be pious in fasting, but oppress their workers. And so the warning for us is this: we can be religiously right, but morally bankrupt. God sees our motivation for all our religious activities. And the principle is that relationship with God can never be separated from morality. So here we have it from the opening verses of Isaiah 58. The devotion that God rejects is one that is purely outward to manipulate Him and is devoid of obedience to love one another. The devotion that God accepts, right, that we will talk about, after the devotion that God rejects can be found in verse 6 and 7, right? Here is what the kind of devotion that God desires from his people. God calls his people to 8 acts of love and compassion within these two verses for the poor and needy around us. Let me just read them. 1, to loose the chain of injustice. 2, untie the cords of the yoke. 3, to set the oppressed free. 4, break every yoke. 5, share your food with the hungry. 6, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. 7, if you see someone naked or see them naked, clothe them. And 8, not to turn away from your own flesh. So the emphasis is on overcoming injustice with righteous acts and to provide the basic needs of life to the poor, the widows, the orphans, and the homeless wanderers. And that includes our guest workers. This act of love and compassion challenge us to see two things. One is that true religion calls for concrete action, helping others in need. To this end, God calls his people, us, to concrete actions to serve the underprivileged in our community. In 2009, 2010, around that time, I was new to New Life. But I was very touched, right, by when New Life set up Project Love to help those affected by the global financial crisis. I'm sure many of you remember the time. People lost their jobs and were immediately in financial woes. Together with our social caseworkers, we were led to many families in need. We saw covenanters stepping out to walk with some of these families, and many gave to Project Love to help, and I remember funding children's education and in some cases paid for utilities and necessities. So there is a need. And what did New Life do? New Life took concrete actions to help the needy in our community. God cares deeply about all human suffering, both physical and spiritual. And that brings me to the second point about devotion that God accepts. True religion takes responsibility of our surrounding. Whether we like it or not, there will be the poor, there will be the widows, right? There will be the people who are suffering from one cause or another cause. But most of us here today are the haves, both materially and spiritually. All around us are the have-nots, both rich and poor. Think about it. And the challenge for us is to heed God's call to actively give of ourselves, our time, our resources to those in need. Such acts of love and compassion pleases God, but it also gives us the platform to share the gospel message, the love of God, and the good news of eternal life. Almost 25 years ago, Covenant's leadership, through the leading of God, found it fit to have a charity arm to serve the community. This is New Life Community Services. And in my 14 years of involvement with New Life in various capacity, I have seen God's faithfulness in providing for New Life, and I have witnessed the continual extension of His grace and favor upon us as we work tirelessly to impact lives in our community. Now, God has brought many covenanters to volunteer their time and resources for his work in the community. We are very thankful for that. And all glory to God. Covenant has a blessed community event called Blessed to Bless. And this happens towards the end of the year. And you can see, we can see here in the screen, Joan and Alex. They have been volunteering in Bless to Bless since the inaugural run in 2021. Joan saw Bless to Bless, or B2B, as an opportunity to befriend and meet the practical needs of financially needy families. Since the first run of B2B, Joan was matched with Madam Chani, not her real name, and her family. Madam Chani's children attended New Life Student Care. The two women connected over the shared experience as of being mothers and became friends despite facing challenges in communicating in the same language. They even maintained contact with one another outside the scope of B2B. Madam Chani was very touched when Joan invited her family to her house for dinner, and they shared a meal together. Madam Chani was very open to sharing with Joan about her life and told Joan about her struggles in her marriage and the financial challenges she had in raising children who were foreigners. Joan resonated with her struggle and felt that she wanted to help Madam Chani in whatever way she could. When Joan found out from Madam Chani that her eldest child had just finished PSLE and was about to enter secondary school, Joan volunteered to help the child with the transition to secondary school. And this is what Joan did. Joan brought the child to the school, bought school books and uniforms together, and taught the child how to commute from home to school. When Madam Chani and the family had to move house, the children had nowhere to go after school. Joan opened her house to let the children come over after school. Madam Chani became interested in Joan's faith and attended CFC's Mandarin service. Madam Chani was exposed to the gospel and she accepted Christ in a CG from the Chinese service. She is now faithfully attending another church. All glory to God. Shall we all clap for God? Thank you, God. Joan has this to say about volunteering for Blessed to Bless. Okay? And I love this quote. She said this. It says, God has a special place in his heart for the needy. He is delighted when his children take time to help those who are in need in our community. As we sow seeds of blessings to these families, we will also experience immeasurable joy watching these seeds blossom in God's time. And I'll tell you, there's so much truth in what is said here. Often we go out there thinking that we're giving our time, our effort, our energy, blessing others. But these blessings, from this blessing, often immeasurable joy come back to us, because as we watch the blessings in the hands of God, in God's time, blossom, this is returned to us. And I will encourage you to do so. New Life Community Service starts our mission statement with loving the community as Christ does. I pray we will continue to hold fast to this claim, right? To love the community as Christ does. God has provided New Life to many of you, and we rely heavily on volunteers to fulfill our mission of loving the community as Christ does. We are looking for volunteers for many of our services, and you can see there on the screen. Let me just quickly go to them. But before that, please approach our booth set up in the foyer for more details. Right. So let me just go through it quickly. You can see there Steady Reader, opportunity in Teck Whye and Fajar on those nights. I think it's Wednesday and Mondays. And roughly 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. We're looking for about 16 people in total. If you look at the bottom, is the B to B, the bless to bless. There's an event day on the 23rd of November, but the window for people to connect with the families assigned to them is 1st of November to the 13th of December, right, where you bring the family out for a meal or you take them out for grocery shopping. And we need 300 people, right, because it's a very big exercise and we want to touch lives in the community. And finally, the silver work right in the middle. You know, we are growing that, and we praise God and thank God for the opportunities that has been growing for us to get connected with the seniors in the community. We are looking for people to do block parties. At least there'll be two more block parties that's going to be organized at the void decks, and we need help there. We need buddies. We are committing to spend time with designated seniors once a month, right? People go in a couple, go in pairs, contact with seniors. We have community diners. We want to make sure that the seniors are comfortable coming to this premise. So we have Tuesday's lunch, Thursday dinner. They come here for a meal, and we would love to have members coming to join them and having fellowship with them. Befriending. We also want people to go to designated seniors once a week to follow up with them, to see how they are also in pairs. And finally, the community connectors. These are people that we hope will volunteer to go knocking on doors on seniors who today do not need befriending, or for that matter, to have buddies, right? But they would like to be connected, and we'd like to update them on the various activities that is going on in the community. Now, at the beginning, Pastor Darwin showed the Silver Care Volunteers video. We are all blessed with this video. So I was very blessed with this closing, and I like the way Leslie finished it. He said, "We are all blessed with different gifts in different ways. If He wants to use it, He is God. If God wants to use these gifts, He wants you to do it. That's all of us to do it." He said, "Just follow. Just show up. Just do it." I pray that this morning, God is speaking to you to share what you have, time, talent, resources, whatever you can offer to help the poor and needy in our community. Because this is the true devotion that pleases our God. As you're sitting there, I'm sure you heard of this before. People appealing for you to volunteer and so on. And volunteering don't come naturally, right? It's hard to volunteer. When we step out to volunteer, take a step of faith to love and to serve, we are often confronted by questions of what kind of risk are we taking? Am I good enough? Will others laugh at me when I fail? What are the trade-offs? What will I be giving up to do this? As a result, this very first step of faith becomes difficult. Right? It's filled with fear, anxiety, doubt, worrying of being hurt, and so forth. We tend to ask the question, "Oh, why me?" Which means, "I cannot. Don't ask me. It's not for me." Right? My wife Wendy, who was here in the earlier service, and I also struggled with volunteering too. Right? But we found it helpful. One way is to ask the question, "Why not?" So, what's the difference with "why me" and "why not"? I think when you start with "why not," there's a bit of a positive slant to it. What you're really saying when you say "why not" is that, yes, I will serve on the condition that nothing else is in the way for me to serve, right? But if you start from the premises that you cannot, why me? You will add things to qualify the no. I hope that makes sense. Okay, I want to finish with a final testimony. So this is from the Silver Care work. You see on the screen is Madam Lee Binio, right? The lady on the left. And this is testimony about her. The person in the middle is Siu Ru, right? Volunteer. and also a friend of Madam Lee. And then on the right is Siu Lu's husband, Ren Zhou. So Madam Lee and her husband retired early in their 50s. Her husband had been retrenched and forced to take early retirement, after which his health experienced a decline. Due to these factors, he developed depression and had many distressing episodes. Madam Lee left her job as a civil servant in order to take care of him during this difficult period. One morning in 2020, Madam Lee's husband jumped down from their HDB flat. He took his own life. With her husband's death, Madam Lee became a solitary old woman, all alone and recluse. And this is what she had to say, and I quote, "My days became very hollow. I had no consciousness of the days passing. I was like the walking dead. I woke up every morning, stare at the ceiling, and I didn't know what to do. I would walk around for a while outside, avoiding everything I knew. And when I got home, I wouldn't feel like cooking or eating. Madam Lee grew dejected and thin. Her daughters brought her to live with them, but she soon felt the emptiness of her days as the daughter had to go to work. She eventually returned to living on her own, which was very stressful for her. During this period of 1.5 years, Madam Lee felt as though she didn't know whether or why she was alive. However, around the end of 2021, when Singapore was opening up from COVID, Madam Lee discovered new life. She was waiting for the bus at the bus stop when she saw a large gathering of people at our Fajar Hub, not far from here. Curious, she entered the hub and saw that it was a Chinese calligraphy class led by senior volunteers. Madam Lee has a deep affinity for Chinese culture, including martial arts, Teochew opera. So she registered for the class. She also got reconnected with one of the calligraphy instructors, which is Siu Lu, right, whom she recognized from a prior encounter. Madam Lee has this to say on coming to the center, and this is what she said, and I quote, "I felt like I had walked into a church. The center was lively and the people there were kind. It was here that my life was completely changed," unquote. So Hui Lu participated in the hub's active aging activities and made many friends at the hub, among whom were 6 close confidants that she could share her heart with. She even became a volunteer trainer, helping seniors learn how to stay healthy and active through exercise and other wellness tips. She was filled with joy and purpose, and even her daughters noticed the change in her life. The opportunity to volunteer for New Life on Wednesday had a great impact on Madam Lee. And this is what she shared, and I will still quote her here. "I really enjoy Wednesday morning because I wake up feeling that I have a goal, a purpose. I channel this positive energy freely to those around me." With Siu Lu's encouragement, Madam Lee started attending church, even joining Siu Lu's CG. Filled with a sense of new hope, she accepted Christ and attends the CFC Bukit Panjang Mandarin service. Madam Lee has brought all that she learned and experienced in her tough times to New Life to contribute to the seniors here. She's deeply thankful to new life or filling her life with color, giving her newfound joy, making her the optimistic and happy person she is today. So as a closing statement, I'd like to quote a Bible teacher who once said this, and I quote, "Devotion to God is not just to follow a set of spiritual discipline. It is to be a commitment that permeates and controls every part of life." Thank you.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.